Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, Athens Clark County's new Poet Laureate on what inspires her.
Connection, I think, is one of poetry's primary goals.
Then, why one Athens doctor decided to focus on menstrual health.
You know exactly how you take your morning coffee. Knowing where to get news you can rely on is just as simple. Listen to Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Athens Clark County selected its new Poet Laureate this winter. Amanda Jemanski was selected to share this art form with the local community. Her term will last until 2028. Jemanski is a Georgia native and writer, and she sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss her journey as a poet. Here's their conversation.
You've just been appointed Poet Laureate of Athens Clark County. Congratulations. What do you think will guide you as the representative of this art form for our town?
I think what will guide me, and again, this is new territory, so we shall see. I'm always looking for what comes up as we go along. But connection, I think, is one of poetry's primary goals. I think most of the challenges we face currently as a community and as a society in general are due to disconnection from ourselves and from each other, and honestly from the earth that we inhabit. And so I think that poetry should always point us back towards connection.
Is there a question that you focus on in your work or some other theme that really drives your writing?
Yeah, I think one thing that I've noticed that comes up for me a lot is this question of what do I want? What do we actually want? And naming that, it sounds so simple, and it's actually a very complex process because so many of us have been told that we're not allowed to want things. It's part of the process of controlling people is to teach them that they should police themselves for wanting more or wanting different. So I think a lot of my writing does deal with the question, what do we want? And then also, how do we become the people that can have and hold what we want, who can cherish what we say we want and can actually tend it and cultivate it? Because I know I look back at certain points in my life when I really wanted something, but if I had had the opportunity to actually grasp it at that point, I think I would have lost it as quickly as I gained it because I hadn't yet become the person that could hold it.
Can you read for us?
Can. Roots. The friend in front of me steps on a root. I'm watching the trail we're walking together intently, so I don't fall, and as soon as her boot moves forward, I see the long, dust-sheathed stem spring back up, fully unfazed. I keep picturing that thick, snake-like tree slice depress under a hiker's shoe, then rebound, shake a little from the impact, and remain, arched up from the earth, waiting defiantly for the next foot stomp. I know I have not seen just a root. I have found a radical of both definitions, a zealous rhizome, a forest insurrectionist. Did you know there are two different words that both use the pronunciation radical? They both begin the same, R-A-D-I-C, then A-L, if you mean someone or something considered extreme by common standards, whatever those are. By the way, extreme comes from a root word meaning the outermost edges, the farthest away. But the second spelling ends L-E. R-A-D-I-C-L-E, and it means a root, specifically the kind still finding its way out from the seed source. A radical is a root potential, a root before it becomes all of itself. Days after the moment on the trail, I see a video clip about trees and root systems, how they help keep each other alive. Even trunks of trees that have been cut down still have life spinning through their cells because their fellow forest chooses to keep resourcing them through the roots. I found out there's a kind of root called a heart root. These grow at a diagonal, not straight down, not parallel to the surface, but slant. Not only do they take in the nourishment the tree needs in order to endure, they help to anchor it and keep it tethered in the turf. Something else about roots while we're on the subject, they're everywhere. You can't even see most of them, but they're there. And the daydreamers know that if needed, the trees will tear themselves right out of the earth, come stalking on their own life support systems to overturn evil. One more thing, the kind of wood that doesn't break but bends, that kind's not dead, but green and thriving. I think I believe in root systems, and if the trees were trying to tell me something, I heard them. Keep growing out, they said. Keep digging down deep, excavating what's underneath the dust. Keep defying the weight of the feet that trample on you by keeping connected. Keep carving through the clay, even at an angle, if that's what it takes to find what your heart needs. And whatever you do, keep sending out your kindness through the soil, because it's gonna take all the trees to keep the forest alive.
Amanda Szymanski, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Amanda Szymanski is Athens-Clarke County's new Poet Laureate. She will host a community open mic event on April 19th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Athens-Clarke County Library. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
Saturday mornings, we're here for you with Weekend Edition. 2 hours of news, interviews, new music, new books, rattling good stories, interesting people, challenging analysis, laughs, air shows, and donkey rides for the kids. So come along with us. Weekend Edition, Saturday mornings from NPR News.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Doctors specialize in all sorts of medicine, from internal to dermatological. But for one Athens doctor, it's all about puberty and periods. Dr. Loretta Duggan is a Georgia native whose practice, Her Health on Prince Avenue, treats teens and young women. Dr. Duggan sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss her practice and what got her interested in the field of adolescent women's medicine. Here's their conversation.
Can you tell us a bit about your practice, Her Health, and the group of people you serve?
Yes. So I focus primarily on teens and young ladies. I start as early as age 11. Up to about mid-30s now. And some people may be wondering, okay, we have this family medicine doc, but why is she focused only on gynecology needs? Why is she only focusing on our teens and our young women? And my answer to that would be, at one point, I was that patient that I see. I was that patient, that 11-year-old who had really bad debilitating pain where I was having to miss school. I even remember missing my first pep rally in middle school because my period caught me off guard and I wasn't ready. And so between the nausea and the diarrhea that was associated with the period cramping, I had nowhere to go. I didn't know that what I dealt with wasn't normal. And so now I want to be that voice, that advocate for my teens, for my young women who may be dealing with similar period health issues, but aren't sure exactly where to turn. I want to be there for them and their families.
So you mentioned you want to be an advocate for teens and young women. Is there a gap in care? Why do they need this advocacy?
That is such a great question. With our teenagers, it's such a time of transition, and it's not just physically. We think about the physical parts of puberty that's going on. They're getting taller than us. Some voices may be changing. Attitudes may be different. Mm-hmm. Periods are starting. But there's also the social aspects that are changing, how they're interacting with their peers, and also psychologically, mentally, they're learning how to really live life now as an adult, making their own decisions, realizing the consequences of that. And a lot of times the conversations when it comes to periods, period health, what's normal, what's not normal, a lot of times that can get lost because there are so many other things that are changing all at the same time. And that can get very overwhelming. And so for me, starting Her Health, now we're focusing just on your gynecology needs, whether it's about our period health, whether it's making sure you're getting your pap smear done and you're not afraid to do that, whether you're realizing or not the importance of protecting yourself if you do decide to have a new partner or to be intimate with anyone. These are sensitive conversations that we're covering that oftentimes can be lost between the vaccines and other check boxes that we have to do in that primary care setting.
So I'd like to dive into one of the reasons a lot of girls and young women come to see you, which is menstruation. Let's start with the basics. What is menstruation?
So I like to think of our periods, our menstrual cycle over the course of a month, as kind of like a basketball game. So we know that we have the first half, we have halftime, we have the second half. And so in our first half, that's called our follicular phase. That's when our egg is just starting to mature. And then we have halftime, and that's when the egg is matured and now it's being released in what's called ovulation. The second half of the game, now we're talking about our luteal phase. And during that phase, the egg is traveling, but also our uterus, the lining, is building up and getting nice and cushiony and ready for whatever comes next. If nothing happens, there's no pregnancy, then we shed that lining, we shed the products of that egg, and we have our period.
You've mentioned this really interesting concept, which is period health as whole health. What do you mean by this?
Yes, our period health is absolutely a part of our entire health. And I feel like a lot of times it's overlooked. I won't say ignored. I won't go to that extent. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that it's overlooked and it's lost in the many things that we, as physicians, often have to take care of. And as patients, not knowing exactly what may be considered normal or abnormal when it comes to our period health. But truly, I look at our periods almost like a vital sign. So just like we're getting your blood pressure, we're getting your temperature, heart rate, all those things, I think of our periods as the same way. Because if you're like, well, I know it's March, but my last period was actually in December. Hold on, let's talk a little bit more about why your periods just skipped 3 months. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the first signs that we see is actually from our periods. And that's why it's so important. And I feel like it's a window into our actual whole health.
Finally, and this is a question I've really been waiting for, can you bust one myth related to young women's health for us?
If I had to bust one myth when it comes to women's health, it would be that birth control isn't just to prevent pregnancy. And as a matter of fact, I like to label it more as hormonal therapy, because that widens the scope of how we can actually view these different types of medicines and interventions that can be helpful. They can be helpful for many of the period health concerns and disruptions that we mentioned, from painful periods, also known as dysmenorrhea, to heavy menstrual bleeding, also known as menorrhagia, to even our irregular periods. They can be helpful in all of those scenarios when appropriate. And that's why it's so important that we really want to normalize the conversation when it comes to periods and our period health. But we can't continue to normalize the suffering that is around and surrounding our periods. So opening that box, opening our minds to what it is that hormonal therapy can potentially provide to improve one's quality of life, I think is huge. A lot of people are limited in their mindset because they feel it can only be used for one thing, or it only indicates one thing, something surrounding pregnancy, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Loretta Duggan, for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Loretta Duggan is the CEO of Her Health in Athens, Georgia. Every year, TEDx UGA puts University of Georgia faculty and students, as well as Athens residents, on the stage to exchange ideas. This April, Harsha Rajarajan will take the stage. Rajarajan is a UGA sophomore studying electrical engineering. His deep interest in philosophy and neuroscience leads him to look for inspiration in unexpected places. In his TED Talk, Rajarajan will discuss how the Pixar film, WALL-E, teaches viewers to go from surviving to thriving. He sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to preview his presentation. Here's their conversation.
Can you tell us a little bit about your TEDx talk? It's about how a particular movie inspires you. And it's a movie that's been around for a while. It's WALL-E. At this point, the film is almost 20 years old, right? So why do you think this movie still has lessons for us today?
I've always loved WALL-E because, I don't know, something about electrical engineering, something about robots, it's always interested me. But as of late, in the recent past, I've rewatched it and discovered that it does have a lot of lessons that we can all learn from. One of the main characters in the movie, Captain B. McCree, when confronted by the antagonist of the movie, Otto, he says, "I don't want to survive. I want to live." And frankly, this quote, it didn't make sense to me as a kid, but it does now. I think that many of us are surviving in life. We're on autopilot. We live day to day, paycheck to paycheck. And I realized that I also live in autopilot here and there. And there's a few signs, okay, which I'll delve into in my talk. But it's invisible. It's silent. And this is what wastes life.
And can you tell me a little bit about how this TED Talk was inspired by a high school paper?
In high school, of course, there's so much stress that goes into high school. We're all kids. We don't know what we're doing, but we get told what to do. You have to get good grades, so you go to college, right? You go to college to get a job. You get a job to get money. And you ultimately get money, or you earn money, to survive, right? That's the point. And I think that people get way too caught up in this cycle, this loop of, oh, this is what I have to do, and I have to do it no matter what, that you lose sight of life. And I think just surrounding myself with these competitive people in high school made me realize that, wow, I am wasting my years. I'm not putting my time into something that truly makes me happy. Of course, I wasn't unhappy. I was content. But there's a massive difference between being extremely fulfilled and extracting the utmost value out of life than as compared to just coasting through it, you know?
Do you think a lot of your peers could use this message?
That's what I hope. I think that this survival mode is something that affects a lot of us, of course, especially in modern life where people are so concerned with things that ultimately don't matter. It's about assigning meaning to things that you think matter. It's about assigning meaning to things that bring substance to your life without all the fluff. And discerning between the fluff and what truly makes you happy is ultimately what my talk's about, and how you can take steps to realize that. Ask yourself the question, what is my happiness? What is my definition of happiness, and how can I get there? What are things I can do today?
Harsha Rajarajan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Emma.
Harsha Rajarajan is a UGA sophomore studying electrical engineering. He will present at TEDx UGA on March 27th at 7 p.m. at the Morton Theater. More information about registration can be found at tedxuga.com/register. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. And will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.